of five messages that I'm doing on the Eucharist as a way of life, that is, an attitude of thanksgiving as a way of life. And these thoughts are taken from the story of the walk to Emmaus, recorded in Luke 24. And today, I'm going to be reading beginning at verse 28 of chapter 24 of the Gospel of St. Luke. Hear now the word of the Lord. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the Scriptures to us?" Amen. You recall that when we began this series two communions ago, we're looking at five words that come to us out of this text that help us begin to formulate an understanding of what it means to have a life of thanksgiving. The word Eucharist is a Greek rendering meaning thanksgiving, and is sometimes used as a name for Holy Communion. In some denominations, they refer to a communion service as a service of Eucharist. We're looking to make the Eucharist a way of life, what we experience in a service of communion to be a way of our life every day. And we began by looking about how these two disciples, as they were walking to this town called Emmaus, how they were grieving over their loss of Jesus. And we saw from that the first step in our process toward a life of thanksgiving is, in our own way, grieving over the reality of our life apart from Christ, our own sinfulness, our own need for God in our life. And then as we moved closer, we saw how Jesus, through the Word of God, revealed and explained to these two disciples all that they had experienced, all that they had seen. They were very confused about what was going on in their community, about what had happened to Jesus. But Jesus took the Holy Scriptures, and he explained to them from the Scriptures all that had been said about the Messiah and all that would happen to the Messiah. And as we just read this morning in the text, the disciples remembered that when Jesus spoke to them from the Word of God, their hearts were burning inside them as they understood the realities that he was teaching them. Now, from that, we saw how important it is for you and I to pursue the Word of God and let the Word of God become a rule and a guide to our lives. It helps us understand our life in the context of the church, in the context of the larger world in which we live, as we see God's revelation of all that he's been doing through the ages. It helps us understand what's happening in our world even today and how we fit into that world as God's children. Here, the word for today is invitation. These two disciples, as they came to their home, they stopped at the door. It looked like Jesus was walking on ahead of them to continue his journey. And they stopped and they urged him strongly to come in to their home and to share their home and to have a meal with them. Have you ever urged somebody strongly when you issued an invitation? Many times we'll issue invitations to people. Why don't you come to homecoming with us? Why don't you come to church with us? Why don't you come over to dinner? And by the very way that we can issue the invitation, we give them permission to say yes or no. But sometimes when we really want the company of somebody, Sometimes when we really want them to come to church with us, sometimes when we really want them to come and share something, an evening or a meal or some time with us in our home, we can give that invitation in such a way as they know we're not going to take no for an answer. Or at least we don't want to take no for an answer. But we urge them strongly, please, won't you come? I really want you to come. And that's what these disciples were doing with Jesus. They urged him strongly. So the day is almost over. Night is coming. You need a place to stay. Here's the place to stay. We enjoy this company that we have with you. And they issued this invitation to Jesus to come and to share with them. One of the most remarkable things that I see in this little story is the power of our own invitation to Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Sometimes we hear that Jesus invites us to come to Him, and this is true. And sometimes we hear in the church that we're supposed to invite Jesus into our heart. And well, that's true as well. But what we see here in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus wants us to invite Him into our lives. He is a part of all that we are. The symbolism for that is the fact that these disciples were inviting Jesus into their home to share a meal. And these are some of the most private places that we have, our home and the dining table where we share a meal. It is the place where the most intimacy in our life occurs. Now, sometimes it can be violent places. Sometimes it can be silent places. Sometimes it can be angry places. But nevertheless, where real intimacy is known within a family and among friends is when you come into people's homes and when you sit around the table and you share a meal with each other and you talk with each other and you become real with each other. That's the kind of intimacy that Jesus wants us to have with Him. That He becomes more than some great prophet of God that we know about. But He actually becomes our companion, the companion of our soul. He becomes our friend and our guide through life. That's what I see in this little story in Luke about how these disciples were inviting Jesus in. That's a difficult thing for a lot of people to do. I had a friend recently that told me about going to see her son who had moved to another town for his first job after college. She said when she arrived, she found that he had a nice little apartment and that his whole apartment looked like what his room used to look like at home. And she brought it to his attention. She said, you know, your grandparents were just here and they remarked to me when they came down to see you how nice and neat your apartment was. And now it looks like one big bedroom. And his reply was, well, Mom, I knew I didn't have to clean up for you. Now, you can read that a lot of ways, but one way that I think we all can agree is that what was being said there was, Mom, you're welcome to see me as I am because you know and love and accept me as I am. And implicit with that invitation is for the mother to come into that setting and not only to be comfortable there, but to share what she sees in that setting. And then there's an openness to receive that. Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I. He's asking us to invite Him in to where you and I live, into our hearts, into the very soul, the very depth of our being, and let Him see everything that is there, the good and the bad, the blessedness and the sin, the fear and the courage. Let Him see it all and let Him tell us what He sees and how He would have us to go. Jesus is asking you and I to give Him an invitation to come to us. One of the great mysteries of the Bible is that Jesus is not pushy. If you don't invite Him in, He will not come in. A greater mystery, I think, is what we call in our Wesleyan tradition prevenient grace. Because this is our understanding that God is at work all around us. God was here in the sanctuary before you arrived. He's going to be in your home before you get home after this service. God is going to be ordering things in your life to increase an awareness within you of His presence. But that's always an awareness of His presence that He's there. Kind of knocking on the door. We have to open that door and invite Him in. And if we don't open that door and invite Him in, He will not kick the door open and come in. What that tells you and I is that it is possible. It is possible for people to know more about Jesus than you do. People can become great scholars about the life of Jesus. People can memorize word for word everything that's in the Bible. They can be great theologians in terms of understanding from a scholastic, academic standpoint what the Bible is about and the movement that's in the Bible and how Jesus is revealed, and they can talk about that and they can debate about that, but they can also not know this one that we call Messiah, the Christ, our Savior. Because He's not known until we open that door and say, Jesus, come in and look at me and tell me what you see. Because I trust you with my life. And with all that I am and all that I want to be, Jesus, I trust you with that. That you can have your way with me. Can you see the difference there between standing off and knowing something about God, knowing something about Jesus, somehow maybe trying to satisfy Jesus through some service or through some good deeds that we may do? Can you see the difference between that kind of an attitude and the attitude of saying, Jesus, come into my life. Pass me not, gentle Savior. Come into this life because I trust you with my very life, with all of my aspirations, with all of my dreams. I trust you to define life for me. And I invite you to become my soul's companion, to become my friend, to be my Lord and my Savior. Throughout the last couple of months, we went through this series together of messages looking at the very nature of God as revealed in the names of God, the covenant names of God. We saw that God was described as our provider, that He was described as our healer, that He was the banner over us, the one that brought us victory. We found that God was holy, and that He was our peace, and that He was our shepherd, and that He is our righteousness. And then just last week we saw that God is here. Just as we sang at the beginning of the service, that the promise of God is that He is here. The reality in Luke's gospel is that while God is all of those things, He does not become your provider until you issue an invitation and say, Lord, I ask you to be the provider of my life. He does not become your healer, the one that makes you a whole person, without first you issuing the invitation and saying, Jesus, be my healer. When you're looking for victory over the battles of life, Jesus does not become our banner until we first, as Moses demonstrated for us on the mountain, lift our hands and say, oh God, bring us victory. I look to you to provide for victory. Jesus is not able to become the one who makes us holy as He is holy until we first issue an invitation and say, Jesus, by your blood, make me holy, sanctify me, set me apart as that special child of God that is your desire for me. We love that story that Peter told about how when God calls us to be holy, that Jesus has made us holy, that He sanctified us, but that we don't become sanctified without we first ask Jesus to come into our life and sanctify us. I enjoyed reading from the book of Judges when Gideon found out that God is his peace. God does not become our peace until we ask Him into our lives. And He may be our peace. I think my favorite of all of those 8 messages is God is our shepherd. But as I demonstrated for you in that little story at the end of that sermon, the Lord is my shepherd. And the idea is we got to hang on to Him and make Him my shepherd. But the most important verse in that whole 23rd Psalm is the first. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus becomes our shepherd because we ask Him to be the one in our life that leads us beside still waters, that helps us to lay down in green pastures, because we are looking to Him to lead us through the valley and the shadow of death, and to protect us with His rod and His staff, to anoint us with oil. All of these wonderful things that we see about the shepherd in the 23rd Psalm become ours as we say, Lord, I invite you to be the shepherd of my life. And as we struggle to make sense in this world with some of the craziness that we see every day in the headlines about the way our world is going, we can draw peace when we know that God is our righteousness. And He becomes our righteousness because we say, God, I invite You to be the one that defines my life, that shows me the way to go. And finally, we experience the reality of the little chorus that we sing, He is here. He is here, hallelujah, He is here. You can hear Him calling your name. You can reach out and encounter the living God as you look to experience His grace in your life. Come expectantly into the sanctuary as you invite Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to be your all in all. All of these marvelous attributes of God that we've seen, revelations of His nature and His care for us as revealed in His name, they become yours as you invite Him into your life. The Scripture tells us that in Jeremiah when he says that you will find God when you seek God with all of your heart. When you make that your life's ambition, your goal, your desire for your life is to know God. Or as Paul put it in Philippians, I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection in my life. And that's what God wants for you and I. Is to know Him as friend, as Savior, as healer, as our peace. But it doesn't just happen because we come here or put some money in the plate. We experience the reality of God in our life because we give an invitation to Jesus. Jesus, don't go somewhere else. Don't pass me by. Come into my life. Reveal Yourself to me. And in the marvelous way this story ends that I read from Luke, we find that as we come together and we issue that invitation to Jesus, He reveals Himself to us. We grow in our understanding of who He is and what He wants to do in our life. We let Him define the nature of our life. And as we do that, as we give that invitation to Him, He reveals Himself to us. So a marvelous mystery. We can be so close to the glory of God and be so totally unaware. Because God will not intrude in that way in your life. You have to open the door and say, come in. As we come this morning to celebrate the Eucharist with thanksgiving in our hearts for all that God has done for us, I want to ask you to take a few moments of prayerful reflection so that as we come here, we're used to coming here in response to an invitation. Jesus says, all are welcome to come at this table. And we always say that, and I know that everybody here this morning knows that. So let it go today without saying. We know that God invites us. This is His table. The question is, will you invite God into your life? And He becomes your all in all. Craig, I want to sing He Is Here. I would like to ask you to sing it like we did the last time, prayerfully, thoughtfully. Then after we sing this chorus just one time, I'll ask Craig just to keep on playing, and you just keep on praying. And then after a few minutes, I'll break the bread and bless the cup. But as you come and kneel at the altar, or stand, if you need to, I want you to be mindful that as you take the bread and to take the cup, I want you to be mindful of your invitation for Jesus to reveal Himself in your life as you invite Him in, that He can stay with you here, not only this morning, but all the days of your life. Craig? Okay.